Amen. Amen. Dear Heavenly Father, we just thank you for this morning, and we thank you for your goodness. And Lord, we just want to give you praise this morning, and I just pray you meet with us in a supernatural way and speak to our hearts. Lord, I pray you anoint me just to speak words of the Spirit, and I pray you just stir in people's heart. We just thank you for your goodness, and we thank you for who you are. We thank you for our salvation in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. Let's look at this morning, let's start off looking at Hebrews chapter 1, verse 3. Chapter 1, verse 3. It says this, Jesus is the radiance of the glory of God and the exact imprint of his nature. And Jesus upholds the universe by the word of his power. It's a interesting verse. It's a powerful verse, and I just feel like I've been just stirred in my heart to touch on the subject. Well, do more than touch on the subject. Talk about the subject of God's design for us. As we look around and see this world kind of slipping, you know, in a crazy downward spiral, you know, it just makes your head spin. And so I just think it's necessary to look at the Bible and see what the Bible says about who we are. And so when we see what the Bible says who we are, it gives us an encouragement, gives us an good grief. Excuse me, I'm sorry about that. So it gives us a good foundation so we know who we are and feel comfortable with that, and we're standing before the Lord and we have a confidence. So that's what I'm going to do. So starting September 29th, you can mark that on your calendars, we're going to be looking at God's design concerning men, women, marriage, family, divine differences, how God restores his design. And then most importantly, what we're going to look at is how to communicate this in a loving fashion, all right? So it's really important on how we communicate things. And so we're going to look at that on each end, and we're going to look at communicating it in a loving fashion on every issue, okay, as we look at that, because that's really important. So what I'm going to start off with this morning is that I want to look at just in general, the whole world, the whole view of God's design here. And so I want to start off with this verse, okay, is because it's very interesting what it says, because it says that God created everything through Jesus. All right, fascinating. God created everything through Jesus. And then it says, Jesus holds everything together by his word. Now just process. God created everything through Jesus, and then through Jesus, everything is held together by Jesus' word. Now, the word uphold here means sustaining, and it's a continual thing, like carry along. And so the idea is that Christ sustains the universe and is behind it all and keeps it all going. Just think about that. He keeps everything going. Jesus is behind everything, and he keeps everything going. Now, if you think about that, so Jesus sustains everything by his word, and he keeps everything going. It's almost like if Jesus disappeared, everything else would disappear. See what I'm saying? It's like Jesus just is not here. Everything dissolves because it's Jesus alone who keeps things going. Really should change our perspective. Now, therefore, if that is a truth, you know, being in sync with God's design would be very important. Amen? Because it's all held together by his word, all right? So it's better be in line with his word to be in sync. And again, if he's not here and just steps out, the whole world disappears. It's not like, well, Jesus steps out of the picture and I can do what I want. No, he steps out of the picture, it just dissolves. So now you think about that. Now, so it's amazing. The stability of the created order, the stability of the created order, God's design, is a witness to the power behind it. So wherever our very being, the whole universe, this earth, everything, our being in its presence is a witness to the power behind it. So it's this whole cosmos, if you will, we see this is God. This is God holding this together. Now we have another verse here very similar in Colossians 1:17. Colossians 1:17, it says this, Jesus is before all things. Now what things is Jesus before? All things. Jesus is before all things, and in him all things hold together. Hold together. I mean, you just think about it. Well, I just don't want to believe in Jesus. You know, you could just become a puff of smoke. I mean, it's he holds all this together is what the verse says. So this is what Paul says. So what it says in Hebrews, Paul says again here in Colossians. Now the word holds together connotates, the original word is preservation and coherence. Preservation and coherence. So the Lord creates the universe and also sustains it. Now we've talked before, God spoke. By his breath, he created all things. If you will, you can, by his breath, he keeps it going. Keeps it going. You know, we think, well, in space, and God is in space, and, you know, he's dwelling there. No, he's over space, beyond space, and he spoke and created it. So the magnitude of God, most people, including Christians, have a poor view of who God really is. Who he is. So that's who we're dealing with. So it's fascinating. And so he is a unifying principle and the personal sustainer of all creation. He is the principle of cohesion. He makes he makes the whole universe a cosmos and not a chaos, all right? So he brings order. Now again, the word indicating everything is held together in him is a continuing word in the Greek. He didn't just, okay, I held it together, and you know, like some people, like the universe, and people, it's like a watch, you wind it up, and you see how it ticks. No, he keeps it going day by day. See, it's a continuing. The verb means it's a continuing. He constantly keeps this thing going. And so through him, the world is sustained. And no creature is autonomous. No creature is autonomous. All are God's servants and very dependent upon him. Now it's like, whoa. You know, whoa. This is kind of big. It's kind of bigger than my problem. You know, what's going on here. Now, this is even more dramatically driven home in the book of Job. Everybody read through. I love the book of Job. By the way, you should read the book of Job. To me, it's just fascinating, the book of Job. But it's really driven home in the book of Job. Look at Job 34, 14 through 15. Job 34, 14 through 15. Job says about God. It says, if he should set his heart to it and gather to himself his spirit and his breath, he just let go. If he had gathered to himself his breath, just go, okay? And gather to himself his breath, all flesh would perish together and man would return to dust. We are alive and function because God has just, he's keeping things sustained. He's above all things. See? So the power of this is really overwhelming. So all these are consistent, this consistent flow of who God is, of who God is. And so what he did, he breathed out an order and a design in which he oversees, which he oversees. Not only does he just oversee it, that's a bad word. He doesn't oversee it, he sustains it. He sustains it. So he's actively involved all the time. Now, here's the problem. Here's the problem. The problem is that we deny God, and therefore we deny his design. So you deny God, and you deny his design. And then When we do that, it leads to chaos. When you deny God, you deny God's design, it leads to chaos, which explains the situation we're in today. I want to just tell you something. Fairfax County and Loudoun County school systems can't figure out who's supposed to go to the boys' and girls' bathrooms. Is that true? Now, if you read it, that you can go in the bathroom you want to. It doesn't make any difference. 10 years ago, that was never a question. That was never a question 10 years. Now it's a question. Now it's a question. See, what happened, you go away from God, you go away from His design, then you can't make any moral decisions. See what happened? That's what happened. Is everything going away from God, speaking against God? Don't talk about God. I just read in Drew Brees got behind this group, and Drew Brees, football player, and he said, I won't get back, and says, all children, you know, you go to school, just take your Bible, because you can do that. You're allowed to do that. The LBG community absolutely attacked him for that and called it that a hate act for kids to take their Bible to school. See, what you have, you go away from God, then you go away from logic. You go away from design, moral design. You see what I'm saying? So it's very understandable what is happening. And so God is telling us this. And so, and here's the verse, and this is where we're in the midst of. Look at Romans 1:21. God tells us, we should be really encouraged in all this mess that God tells us. He's already told us. He said, I'm letting you know up front, okay? He says in Romans 1:21 up there, for although they knew God, they did not honor Him as God or give thanks to Him. I don't need God. So they became futile in their thinking and their foolish hearts were darkened. They turned from the knowledge of God, and then their thinking was futile. Their hearts were dark. They didn't see it. They don't see it. You see what I'm saying? So the Bible, that's what happens when you turn from God. Now I'm my own man, I'm my own woman, I can make my own decisions. And this is where we are today. That's what happens. Because what we're doing is actually stepping out of our design. We're stepping out of our design, the way God created us, and that's the problem. And if we step out of our design, we just make up a design. We just make something up, okay? And in our logic, there's a logic approach to that on the other side, on the side of, well, don't you love us? Everybody needs to be free. Everybody needs to make their own decisions, and you have to agree with what they say. And if you speak against it, it's hate. See? And we're going, wait a minute. No, God created me a certain way. How about me trusting in God, believing in God, and loving God, and have a message that God loves you? No, you can't do that. Don't take your Bibles to school. See, so we shouldn't be at all shocked. I mean, we might be a little stunned at how fast this is moving. How fast it is moving, which the Bible also tells us. It tells us it's going to happen quick when it happens. So here we have. Now here's something else, and we should be aware of, not frightened, but aware of. So we look at people's natural inclination, okay, and they get this way by logic. You listen, their logic without God, okay? And the Bible says if you don't have knowledge of God, you don't have logic. The first thing to knowledge is to know God. The Bible says to have knowledge, you have to know God, or otherwise it's irrational in God's mind. But it's our logic, human logic without God. And so the Bible is telling that. But here's something else. It's even more worse than that. It's even worse than that because something else is happening, and we need to be aware of this. Need to be aware of this. Satan hates God's design. He hates it. You know when in Genesis when it says God created man and woman, he said he created man and woman in His image. Satan hates God's image. He hates us. He hates God's image. So he wants to destroy God's image. He wants to destroy his design. Okay? Look at 1 Peter 5:8. It says, be sober-minded, be watchful. Your adversary, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion, seeking someone to devour. So Satan's victory comes by distorting God's design. So he distorts the world designs of unbelievers, and we're here as believers going, oh my goodness, and then we're sending our kids to public school, and they're inputting it into public school, and we're trying to convince, wait, no, that's where the whole world is going. So we're having this to communicate to our children. What a brilliant move by Satan. See, and I've said this before, but I'm going to say it again because I'm just so dumbfounded about it. There was an evangelist, a teacher that I used to listen to a lot 30 years ago, okay? And so he always said this, and I thought he was just nuts. I mean, it just didn't make any sense. You know, it was like, he said, I'm going to tell you what happened. And he would talk about all these issues 30 years ago, and he says, what's happening? And he looks at, there's an evil one behind it, and the purpose is to destroy the family, and there are people that are behind it that are actively putting people with their agenda into different places of positions, and they're going into the legal system so that they want to promote their lifestyles. He said, that is happening. I think, well, that is some nutty conspiracy theory, but whatever, I like everything else, he said. But then he said this. He says, their number one goal is to get it into junior high. Why? Puberty. Puberty. Kids go through junior high. Some people compare it to women going through the change of life. I mean, it's just like they're going crazy. They don't know what's happening to them, you know? And it's going through. And you into this, okay? You go into this whole thing. And at junior high, and what's happening? They don't know what's going on. And they start feeding them this. They start feeding them this in junior high. And they're confused anyway. Well, if you don't have parents standing up and telling them the truth, they get sucked into this. And as they get sucked into this, they build up a sin pattern that dominates them by the time they're out of junior high. And they say, well, I was just always like this. I just born like this. And by the way, there's all sorts of research looking to all these different lifestyles trying to find DNA evidence that this, you know, this is the way people are. Now, they can't find it. All this research, they can't find any of it. But why are they looking so hard for it? Because then they say, well, that's just who they are. And you can't ever say anything bad about that. That's the reason they're looking so hard for it. You see what I'm saying? So anyway, we need to be aware. It's like, oh, golly, that's just the way it is. No, this is an evilness that's being perpetrated on the entire world. On the entire world. You see what I'm saying? So we need to know what's going on. It's important. And that's the reason I want to do this session. And talk. We need to know who we are. Okay? See, the whole world's going crazy. We don't have to go with them. Okay? Now here's something else. This is fascinating, too. Is that when we have power and success when we operate in our God-given design, okay? Our God-given design has power in it, all right? So we need to understand that who we are has power. If we operate outside of that design, there's no power. We can operate outside of it, but there's no divine power to operate out of that. Amen? Now look at this verse, fascinating verse. I'm going to make an application here. Look at 2 Corinthians 10:13. And the Apostle Paul is saying this, but we will not boast beyond limits, but we will boast only with regard to the area of influence God assigned to us, even to reach you. Now, when I look at that, I'm saying there is an area of influence God assigned to us. So the power, to have power and authority, to have power and authority, we need to know our assignment and our area of influence. Think about that. See, with that area of assignment and that with that area of influence and with that assignment, God gives authority and power. So you figure out the assignment, you figure out the area of influence, you have authority and power by God to impact. Y'all with me? And so when you think about that, we want to look at this, each one of us, therefore, if that's true, therefore, our work, our home, our family, our gender, our school, our personal difficulties are our assignment and area of influence where we have authority working through the power of God. Think about it. Oh God, what's my assignment? We start your home, your work, your neighborhood. Oh, I can't believe the problems I'm going through. This is awful. That's your area of assignment. I'm walking into the situation, and everybody's crazy. Why am I here? It's your area of assignment, and you have power here. You see what I'm saying? And it's all of a sudden you start looking at every situation that you are operating in your design, okay? We all have trusted Christ as our Savior. So he indwells us, and so when we step in our area of assignment, when we step into our assignment and our area of influence, we bring Jesus into that situation. And so all of a sudden, we have input, and that input comes from different ways and different kinds, but we have that input. Instead of complaining about our situation at home, our family, instead of complaining about our work, instead of complaining about our rotten circumstances, we think, okay, I'm God's person in that place, this is my assignment, and this is my area of influence, and I'll say, oh God, give me wisdom in this to communicate you. Amen? Oh, what does God want me to do? Open your eyes, look at your family, look at your work, look at your community, look at your problems. Oh. Now, he can lead us in other things. See, this is one thing in this little footnote. I've seen people come, I want to be a missionary, I want to be a pastor, I want to do that. And it's like, their family's a wreck, okay? And I say, you know, I think you got another call you need to take care of. We don't want to multiply your problem in the mission field. You see what I'm saying? Now, I'm not saying everybody's perfect and everybody goes through that. But it's like, now open your eyes to that. And when everybody gets on board and God's speaking to the whole group, and then you move out and then say, I think God's moving them there. And just by the way, information, I shouldn't say this, but I'm going to say it anyway. My view, and over the last 40 years, I've seen multitudes the missionaries go into the field, okay? And I look, and I'm not going to use any, I'm going to look at you now, and I'm going to say about 10% of them were supposed to go. And what happened, they didn't take care of their area influence first. They didn't. And I hate to say that, but that's what I've seen. That's what I've seen. And so you just want to be careful. It gets God's design. Were they evil people? Were they do something wrong? They operated out of their design. See? And it has consequences. It has consequences. So we just need to. And so what we're saying, okay, God, I want to do what you say. And what we're in now is our assignment and our area of influence. We step into other things. And God leads us to other things. Amen? All right. Now, so we see this, and so when we start understanding that, when we start understanding our assignment, when we start understanding, you know, our area of influence, what we do, it changes our view of God, that understanding our design, understanding our assignment, understanding our area of influence, and therefore it impacts every segment of our life. We are to reflect God in every segment of our life. Oh God, you wouldn't believe what's going on with me. You wouldn't believe what happened. No, I would believe it. I would believe it, Wallace. And I want you to reflect me in that situation. Oh, okay. You see what I'm saying? Look, if you will, at Colossians 3:17. Now, here's a to-do, okay? Here's a to-do list. All of us like to do a to-do list. But we're thinking, this is not the to-do I wanted to do. It's like, really? No, here's a to-do list. You want to know how to operate, what to do. And it says this in Colossians 3:17. And so whatsoever you do, what did it say? So whatsoever you do, I mean everything you do, homework, kids, problems. So whatever you do, in word or deed, that about covers it, do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. You've got to be kidding me. I go to work and these people are nuts. But what you do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Giving thanks to God the Father through him. Oh God, I am so happy to be in this mess. I'm so happy to see what you do. I'm so happy to see you move. I just can't wait for the Holy Spirit to come on me and give me a word to speak encouragement to. I'm just tickled to death. Amen? And I'm working on that. Okay, I'm working on it. But that's what it says. But what it has, you have brought Jesus into this. You brought Jesus into the situation. You brought Jesus into your assignment. You brought Jesus into your area of influence, and now you're aware. You're aware. Now, God's doing stuff, and you don't know. He may be putting 20 puzzle pieces together, and you just have one little puzzle piece to stick in for those other 20 to work. You don't see it, but God says, no, this is where I have you. This is where I have you. And I want you to do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Go and do this project that somebody else is going to get credit for, and you have to all make all the copies the secretary did, and you got to get all the work, and I may let you go next week. Oh, praise Jesus, I do this in the name of you, and I can. I'm so excited at what you're going to do. You got to be kidding me. Principal calls you up and says, come here, little Johnny, you know, has just burnt down his classroom, you know. Oh, God, praise you. You're going to use this, and we're going to be an opportunity to witness. God bless little Johnny. Now, you may have to do some discipline on little Johnny, but you do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus. Amen. That's what it says. And you think, well, you're being right. No, that's what it says. But what we're doing is, what it says, we're bringing Jesus into the situation. That's all we're doing. We're bringing him into the situation. And then we move forward with Jesus totally alert to what he's doing. Amen? Now, aren't you glad we talk about God's design? This is the way he designed it. The world can't do this. World can't do this. And they're a little stunned when we do it. This is a little secret. Not a lot of Christians do this. See, you know, and some Christians are stunned when we do this. You see what I'm saying? And so you look at what he's telling us, but what are we doing? What are we really doing? We're putting ourselves in a place to release God. That's what we're doing. We're operating in the design to release God. And that's what we're depending on. That's our whole trust. We're going to release God in that. And that's the reason God can use very, very few. Because very, very few people do this. So if we say this and we step into that situation, though, and so we're looking at something bigger than us, and God moving to take care of us. I was reading a verse the other day, and he says, God himself will restore. I mean, I just circled that thing. God, the first time I ever seen it. God himself. Where am I in God himself? See, God himself, okay. God, I praise you. You're going to do something? I'm going to just like watch this thing. And that's what he said. Fascinating. Now, here's a verse. And we're in the to-do verses. Okay? We're in the to-do. We're always, I want something to do. Here's something else to do. If you're like me, I say, God, what do you want me to do? And he tells me, I go, you're kidding me. You know, it's like, you should at least tell me what I want to hear if I say I'm going to do it. But here's one. This is great. As we live life honoring God, we are witnesses that God, as we live life honoring God, we are witnesses that are noticed by the world around us. We are noticed. Now look at 1 Peter 3:15. I'm going to read this and I'm going to kind of talk about it a little bit. It says this, 1 Peter 3:15. In your hearts, honor Christ the Lord as holy, always being prepared to make a defense or give an answer. A lot of people says give an answer to anyone who asks you for the reason for the hope that is in you. Yet, do it with gentleness and respect. That kind of means, you idiot, that's stupid. That's not a good way to do that. It's gentleness and respect, okay? That means you respect the craziness of Christ. So you're trying to have enough respect for them, you can talk to them. You see what I'm saying? Now look here, look at this. Now what is he telling us to do? What's God telling us to do? First off, and this is important, we just kind of float past this one. Honor Christ as holy. The lost world doesn't honor Christ as holy. We, as believers, honor Christ as holy. Oh, you're holy, you're perfect, you're good. And it says, we honor him as we move through life. As we go through, we honor him. And, you know, we're working hard and we have a brain. Say, oh, God, I love you. And it's God, you're just taking me through this day. We honor him. Things come up. First thing, we honor God. Amen. So that's the number one thing. Live to honor God. Now, that will really make a difference in our lives. That's going to, we live to honor God. God, I just honor you. So our mindset is to honor God. Therefore, our thinking has changed. And that's the first thing. You honor God. I love you. Save me. God, thank you for your love and goodness no matter what. Thank you. You're with me wherever I go. God, thank you. You're the creator of all things. You hold everything together. Oh, God, I trust in you. First thing. Now, again, for believers, that's just like, that's what we do. That's what we do. It affects our behavior. Now, the next one, it says, always be prepared. It says to give an answer. Always be prepared. See, this is important. We have to know what we believe. Always be prepared. Know what you believe. Now, that doesn't mean you have to go to a seminary. Doesn't mean you have to read the whole Bible through. It doesn't mean that you have to understand every doctrine there is and make all sorts of decisions based on, you know, the doctrines you understand. That's not what this means. It means know what you believe. Why do you trust God? Why do you trust God? I love him for I'm forgiven. Now, every believer always should know that. I love him because I have eternal life. I love him because he helps me every day in my life. See, always be prepared. What you believe. And if you don't know what you believe, you never say anything. And it should be on the tip of your tongue. You know, why are you just so at peace? Well, you know, I was just working my hardest and I just knowing things would work out. And I just, good things come to people that work hard. No, that's not even true. But it's like, no, I just trust the Lord that he's going to lead me and guide me. I trust you. It's on the tip of your tongue. It's on the tip. Be prepared with an answer why you believe. See? And that's got to be. They ask you. And then say, well, what about this? It beats me. I just know he loves me. I know I'm forgiven. I'm sure there's a bunch of answers, but I just don't know. I just know he loves me. You wouldn't believe how big of a testimony that is. would not believe, because it drives people that don't know the Lord just that. How can that be? By the way, they're not in peace and things are not working out and they are not happy in what they're doing. Okay, just subtitled there. Now, okay, so that's two. Honor Christ as holy, always being prepared. One, to anyone who asks. To anyone who asks. I just think that's so fascinating. You know, if you don't have a Christian witness, you know, and you don't act like you're honoring God, they probably ain't asking you nothing. So don't try to say nothing because you ain't showed them nothing. But if you're honoring Christ and you're moving in the power of Christ and trusting Him, people will notice and they will ask. Does anybody ever ask you about your walk? Does everybody say, I see something different about you? You know, like that. I mean, I don't want to be nasty, but they may not see anything different in you. I mean, you got to be saved. Where does it start? You honor Christ as holy. I just praise Jesus I got through that. What are you praising Him for? You know, He's my Savior, and I just trust Him. You know, I have peace with Him. I do, and that's what I trust. See, it's what you believe. And you walk in that, you walk in those steps of honoring God, prepared with the answer, anyone who asks. You think Jesus showed up in your office sometimes, He walked through somebody and said, hey man, what's going on with you? See, yeah. Because it's like, man, this guy's different. This guy's different. Okay, so there we got there. Honor Christ is holy, always be prepared, know what you believe. Anyone who asks should be on the tip of your tongue. Oh, I just work hard. I trust Christ in what I do. And I give Him the glory. Trust what I do. Now, and anyone asks what? To the hope that is in you. See, anyone who asks about the hope that is in you, that means they're seeing a hope in you. Whatever's happening, whatever you're going through, that you have a hope that's in you that no one else has. So there's a hope that's going on in you that makes you behave different, that makes you look different, and that infects your actions and your speech. And so they ask you, what is that hope that is in you? Why? Why are you behaving this way? Everybody's mad but you. You know, why is that hope in you? See, and so this is what he's talking about. Now, what is that hope in us? What is in the hope? Oh, everything's going to turn out perfect. No, that's not what he said, okay? Your hope is that God's moving in this. I want to be aware of what it is. I have hope of eternal life. I have hope. I know from hope means, by the way, what you believe that's going to happen. It's not like, oh, golly, I hope something. That's not, it's an expectation of what's going to happen. So you have a hope. You know you have eternal life. You know you're a child of God. You know you're forgiven. That's the hope I have in me. What is the hope in you? I hope I get a promotion. You don't. And I work harder than you. No! I have eternal life, and God's going to work this for my best, and I know my sins are forgiven. I'm walking with the Lord, and He is going to work through this situation for the best. See, 1 Peter 3:15 is a big to-do verse. Fascinating. So here we have, honor Christ who is holy, always being prepared, anyone who asks, the hope that is in you, and then this one, oh my gosh, with gentleness and respect. I was watching this. Facebook. Okay. But anyway, this girl was witness. She had this big Bible. You've probably seen it. She's had this big Bible. She's witnessed this guy, and he just says, I don't believe any of that stuff. She just hauled off and smacked him with her Bible, and he just fell over backwards, you know. And I thought, yeah, I've seen that. I've done that. Okay. No, that's not what you do. It's not what you do. What it says, you communicate this with gentleness and respect. So gentle means you kind. Respect is you respect that other person. You know what this other person is? God's design. These lost people are God's design that are not operating in their design. So they can't be happy. within, because they're operating outside of that design. And you know that. They don't know that. So you're gentle and you're respectful. I appreciate your gifts. I appreciate your ability. You have a lot of insights. But what we do, we honor Christ. We're prepared to share his goodness, the hope that's in us. They ask. When they ask, we're gentle and respectful. That means we have empathy, compassion, and respect, speaking the love of God and letting the breath of God fall on those who unknowingly are stepping into destruction. It just breaks our heart. We have a lot of compassion. It just breaks our heart. Amen? Amen. Now, so with all this, we should take God's design really seriously. Our design. We should take our design very seriously. And God is the one who's holding everything together. God, that means God's holding your design together and he's holding your life together. See? And so we know that nothing about us is by accident. Can you imagine God go, golly, I never thought that happened to you. Shucks. No, he knows what's going on. He knows what's going on. And so we receive salvation through Christ. But when we receive salvation through Christ, there comes an assignment. There does. Okay? And so there comes assignment, and we need to wake up and move as the chosen ones with God's purpose in his power. And we all have situations where we're just totally incapable of solving, or maybe we think we're totally incapable of surviving. He didn't mean us to do this alone. He meant us to call on him who God himself can restore and move in. And that's what we're trusting in, not the other people. We're trusting in God and just trying to move in our design so that he can move through us and powerfully in that situation. I say this because it's like it just smacks me in the face, okay? Because I need to have a little card and just read it all the time. Our difficulties are only opportunities for God to magnify himself. That's it. We, as God's design, are perfect for the situation we're in. Oh, God, I wish you were here to take care of this situation. Driving me crazy. He goes, by the way, I am in it, and you're driving me crazy. Listen to me, because I'm trying to work through you. And you're so worried about yourself, you can't minister to anybody else. Now, I'm speaking to myself. See, and so, guys, I am there. I am there. You showed up. I'm there. Now work in your design. But they are not working in their design. And it makes so much easier for me if they would work in their design than I'd work in my design. I didn't work that way. Amen? Now, okay, so we wrap it up with this. To start with, it's just Jesus. You got to go to Jesus. And there's only one way to get to Jesus. Amen? It all starts with Jesus. By the way, Jesus, through Jesus, created the world, and he holds everything together. Oh, he died for forgiving my sin. Yeah, but through Jesus, he created the whole world, and he sustains it by the word of his mouth. Oh. So here it is, Ephesians 2, 8, and 9. For by grace, or for by power, you have been saved through faith. You believe. And this is not of your own doing, son of a gun. Look at that. It is a gift of God. God himself did it, God himself restored. Not the result of works, so that no one can boast. Look at me and you got me, how lucky you are. No, it's like, oh my gosh, I can't believe he saved me. It's a gift of God, not of works. No one can boast before him. No one can boast. Now, we could just settle there, okay? Do you know what the next verse is? Ephesians 2:10. Do you know what the next verse is? Look at it. 2:10. Fascinating. I like 8 and 9. 10. Look what 10 says. For we are his workmanship. I did a good job with you. I did a good job with you. You are my workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works. I did a good job, and I got you for good works. Got something going here with you that I did. For good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. So what he did, he says, let's see, I have these works. I prepared them, and right there, I got this. I'm going to make this. I'm going to fix this. Now, Wallace, I made you. Now you do it. The works came before me. Think about that. You accept Christ as your Savior. Oh, my God. He has already prepared the works before he saved you. He prepared them beforehand. So he's got all these works together. He said, okay, here are my people. You're here, and you're here, and you're here, and you're here, and you're here. And I'm over here and said, Wallace, you're here. And I said, God, I just don't like my works, and I don't like what I'm doing. And everything's going wrong, and God, I don't know what you're doing. You're not paying attention to me. See, I came second. He did the works first. He prepared the works for him, put me here, and I'm belly aching the whole time. And no, he did the works first and then put me here. I should say, oh, thank you, God. Now, how am I going to do the works he prepared? Dear God, this is my assignment. This is my area of influence. Dear God, I pray you move it. I'm going to see you move. You're powerful because you put here, and I know I can't do it myself, but Lord, you're going to do it, and you're powerful. I'm going to be excited to see what you do. See? Because he did it. Amen? Think about your situation. He prepared the works first. You came second. Isn't that something? That's what the verse says. So we have a free gift. And we get this free gift. Oh my goodness, free gift salvation. Well, we have the dwelling of the Holy Spirit. Wow. He said, okay, now look, here's some stuff I'd like you to do. I prepared these works. I need somebody to step into this job. I need somebody to step into this community. I need somebody to step into this family. I need somebody to step into this situation. I need somebody to step into this school, and I put you there. He said, that's the way you ought to think. Because I am holding it all together. And when I speak and sustain it, I created this beforehand, and I'm sustaining it until you step out and do what you're supposed to, because I'm sustaining it. I'm holding it together until you get in here and you do what I say. Amen? Oh, my goodness gracious. God's design. God's design. Or you get to a point, you don't even know whether you use a boy's or girl's restroom. Don't have a clue. Do you see the conflict? You see what's happening? And God's just like, what are you going to do? Why are we here in Ashburn? Because God has prepared works beforehand. Amen? Hallelujah. So we all should be excited and say, praise Jesus. Because if Jesus just kind of took a deep breath, we'd all disappear. Amen. So, hallelujah. He's breathing all over. Won't we stand and praise God and thank him? Dear Heavenly Father, we just thank you that you created all things, and the magnitude of what you said is even beyond what we can comprehend. Your magnitude is beyond what we can comprehend. And Lord, you've given us the Lord Jesus Christ, who it says he is the radiance and the image of the living God. So we can look at Jesus and see how you function in this world. And we thank you for the Lord Jesus, and to know that Jesus sustains all things. He created through him, you created all things, and all things are sustained by him. We love the Lord Jesus Christ. We give thanks to the Lord Jesus Christ. Thank you, dear God. Amen. Amen.